5 FM. The first hour of Sports Time is brought to you by Lexus of Memphis. Here are your hosts, Brett Stats Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Welcome into Sports Time. Bryant and Brett with you. Landon Schmidt producing. We're Sports Time. We're with you for the next 3 hours. Plenty to get into this afternoon, but obviously it's going to be a lot of talk on the NBA Finals as the Knicks with a road win last night in Game 1, 105-95 over the Spurs. We'll talk a lot about what happened in that game last night. A very interesting game, back-and-forth game throughout the night. So we'll talk a lot about Game 1. We'll start previewing Game 2 as well. We'll talk some draft, off-season, a little bit of everything when it comes to the NBA. Also got to talk some baseball, as Major League Baseball being a Thursday, we have a handful of day games. The Super Regionals get started tomorrow night as well. We'll have complete coverage of Ole Miss and their series against Auburn starting tomorrow night going into Saturday. And if it needs a Sunday game, we'll have that as well. We'll also talk some football, both college and the NFL. So a lot to get to over these next 3 hours. Brett, how are you this afternoon?
Brian, I'm doing well. And the prospect of New York taking Game 1 seemed remote. The odds were in San Antonio's favor. We all thought that the best chance for New York to get that split down there was to win Game 2. But to come back and do it, not the deficit they had to recover from in Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals, but down with 5 minutes left, it was San Antonio's game. And for San Antonio to only score 95 points, to hold them under 100, a lot of unlikely things and unlikely, but Knicks up one zip.
Yeah, no, it was really impressive, and we talked about it a lot yesterday about how you saw what they did in the Eastern Conference Finals Game 1 where they got down against the Cavs, and then you know they had enough gas in the tank, you know, with all that rest coming off the sweep in the round before where the Cavs didn't have any of that. They were on short rest after Game 7. They were able to come back, and so the idea that maybe they would be the more rested team and that you know they would be able to, late in that game, if it's close, be able to come back, I think that thought was there just because of that they already showed that they could do it in the last series. But we thought it would be tougher against the Spurs, but got to give them a lot of credit because, you know, midway through that game, you know, in the third quarter, it looked like San Antonio would have the opportunity to run away with it, you know, got up by double digits, 13, 14 points or so. And then, you know, the Knicks just, slowly were able to chip away at that lead and ultimately get the win last night. So really, really impressive stuff from the Knicks.
And when Cornette came in, Brunson knew, I'm going right to the cup.
Yep.
He would attack the basket. When he would see him under the goal, it was Tora.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think you know you're going to have to use Luke Kornet in this series if you're San Antonio, and I think you're going to have to use him a lot more than they did last night. Only 10 minutes, that can't happen. He's got to be more effective. You've got to be able to use him more throughout this series. But you know, I'll be curious how they play Jalen Brunson the rest of the way. I'd like to see some more Stephon Castle on him, you know, making it difficult for Jalen Brunson. They kind of got away from that. They were kind of circulating and kind of, you know, different quarters, different possessions, going different guys on Brunson. So yeah, I'd like to see more Stephon Castle on him and try to make life difficult. But you know, Jalen Brunson showed why a lot of people want to hail him as the best Knick, because he was really, really good last night. He came up clutch when they needed him to, even after having to leave the game early because of an injury, able to come back in and really be massive for them down the stretch of that game.
And you see the stories right now that late in the game, and you could see it at the scores table with Brunson and the official, of something going on late in the game. I haven't heard the conjecture or what maybe the fan might have been saying to him. I think he wanted the fan removed, didn't he?
Yeah. He was, even after the game, John, with whoever was sitting there, but I still don't really know.
Have you seen, I know we probably can't say it, but what the dialogue was?
It was something around flopping. That's the only thing I've seen, but I haven't seen much about what it was. But yeah, you could certainly see after the game, you mentioned it, you know, during the game as well, but certainly after the game, you saw him Kind of going at the because it was right there, and I know Memphis has done that as well. Where at the scores table, they have some seating for fans, and you saw him kind of go directly towards the scores table. And the ABC broadcast at first thought he was going at one of somebody that was working the game, and then they quickly were like, "No, it's a fan that he's jawing at." And so, yeah, I don't know what exactly it was, but certainly it was something that got under his skin.
Okay, well, I'm going to kind of draw the line on acceptability or lack of acceptability on if we can't talk about it, then it was unacceptable and fan probably should be removed.
Mm-hmm.
If it's fan jawing at him about flopping,
mm-hmm.
too bad.
Well, I mean, I just saw a tweet that said it was surrounding flopping. I'm sure it was not just, hey, Jalen Brunson, you flop a lot. You know, I'm sure it was
okay.
A lot stronger than that. I just haven't seen any direct quotes or anything really. I haven't really thought much about it, since last night. And so I haven't really been looking for anything. It might be out there and I just have missed it. But yeah, certainly something got under his skin last night.
I would just think if we can talk about what was said, mm-hmm. then it's not that bad.
Yeah.
If we can't talk about it, exit for him. And another fan incident last night is the fan ran out on the court, mm-hmm. was out on the court 11 seconds. That's a long time before building security kind of just ushered him out. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a big headlock out, was it?
No, it wasn't. He was
and networks didn't leave the coverage.
No, which I was glad because I like seeing that stuff. I don't like when they turn it away. I want to see what's going on out on the court. But obviously some kid looked like a teenager or young adult out there on the court wanting to get a selfie with Victor, failed at it because you can't even see Victor's face in the video that he took, and very sleepy. By the Spurs security team out there to make sure he didn't get out there because he was very quick to get in front of Wimby and then able to get him off the court and get him out of the arena. But that was certainly interesting last night.
I know security and authorities are scared to death of anything over the top. Mm-hmm. I didn't see anything in their reaction that would be a deterrent to the next one trying to do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was kind of just gently ushered out of the building.
Sure, yeah. And it was weird. It was kind of weird how it all played out because you kind of saw him out there, and I had to play it back and actually see him run towards Victor Wembanyama because at first I just saw him in front of, it was kind of all at once, and I was like, oh, that's a fan out there in front of Victor Wembanyama. And so it was almost seemed like the security had that same reaction at that moment. And so, got him off quickly after they realized, but it just took them a really long time to realize he was out there. And so, I don't know if that will cause more people to try to do that. I am pretty sure, though, that the NBA probably had a long talk with the Spurs and their security team, and probably with the Knicks and their security team as well, of this can't happen again. One time, whatever, but that cannot happen over and over again throughout this
but
series.
But as I read it, correct me if I'm wrong, no charges for that person.
Is that right?
Right?
Well, I mean, I don't think it should be any criminal charges against them. I mean, banned from the arena, but I think other than that, it shouldn't be anything crazy.
Okay, and then we get to that, and it's lifetime banned from any NBA arena,
sure.
is what I'm reading.
Yeah.
Unless every single arena in the league has some type of facial recognition mm-hmm. that I'm not aware of and that nobody else is aware of, what in the world, how could they stop him from coming to one of those Sunday matinee games in Memphis in November? Who would be prepared to go, that's him right there. Not allowed. That's game one guy.
Yeah, that's always I've always wondered that, because you always see this, no matter what sport it is, when someone gets that lifetime ban from all arenas or ballparks or stadiums, whatever it might be, of how can they really make sure? And so the only thing I can think of is obviously everything goes through online tickets now, and so you ban his email or whatever it is from buying tickets. But I feel like it'd be very easy to go around
best
that.
Buddy.
Sure, exactly. I feel like it'd be very easy because I really don't know how you could, obviously in San Antonio, I think you could be better at, having pictures of his face or whatever to make sure he doesn't come in. But, if he goes up to Portland or here in Memphis or, Orlando, I think it would be very hard to make sure he stays out of arenas.
I just can't imagine every arena or any arena having some type of facial recognition, retinal scan. Mm-hmm. I mean, heck, the seventh floor at Langley at CIA may not have all that.
No, definitely not. So, yeah, I mean, I've always wondered that. But, you know, I guess it's just something to say, hey, we laid down the law on you're not coming back anytime soon, and hopefully that will keep other people from not doing it.
And then there was 10-gallon Hoss Cartwright cowboy guy on the front row.
Oh, I missed him.
Kind of free throw line extended as you're looking at the TV. It would be on your left. Front row, no telling what that cost, even in San Antonio. It's going to be a lot more in New York. And he never sat down.
Really?
Dude, you're on the front row. Yeah. And you've got a Hoss Cartwright 10-gallon on.
Interesting. I missed that.
Ooh.
Was it a good look, though? I mean, you know, or was it kind of too much?
I think every front row in the league is just tool central.
That's fair. Yeah, I missed that. I did not see the big old hat on the front row, but it was a happening game one, that's for sure.
It was, and some Knicks fans infiltrated front row, and I think they are in trouble over trying to get selfies.
Knicks fans infiltrating most of the arena last night.
Oh, did they?
I mean, there were a lot of Knicks fans there. We talked about it yesterday. I mean, cheaper to fly to San Antonio and get a ticket for that game last night or game two tomorrow night than to go to Madison Square Garden for any of the home games. And yeah, you saw them a lot, you know, behind the Knicks bench, a lot, you know, kind of throughout the arena. You could see them just because of all the, you know, because the Spurs are really good about pregame, making sure everybody's got that shirt on. Whatever section you're on, you better be wearing that shirt. So it's very easy to kind of point out where the Knicks fans were. And you heard them late in the game when the Knicks, it was sealed. You could hear them throughout the arena. So yeah, no, Knicks fans showed out last night.
Are we getting there? Are we prepared? I know it's one game, and I know Allen Iverson started up 1-0 on Kobe and the Lakers, and that was the last one they won. But I think this team is better, and I don't think San Antonio is quite the opposition 76ers were facing in the Lakers that year. Are we prepared for the Knicks winning at all?
Yeah, I mean, I guess they're in the finals. You have to be – you should have already been prepared for it. So,
and up 1-0.
A 50-50 shot going into it that they can win it. But, no, I'm not going to change my pick or my opinion on this series after one game. I thought the Spurs –
We would let you because we're very sporting.
Sure. Yeah, no, very.
If you would
you are the most sporting. I always feel
We're always here for them.
Yeah, no, great teammates when it comes to things like that.
All our picks are gentlemanly sports, just like our golf picks, even though – John has made a lot of fun today of Landon over Alex Smalley's 83,
not
a pro
great.
Golfer shooting 83 today, Landon, and I did not join in on that.
No, you did not. You just stated the facts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
just the score.
Yep.
And the facts. That's it.
It's not great when you shoot that poorly.
Pro golfer shot 83.
It's not great. Not great. But
John still considers it a great pick.
Sure, that's all that matters. But you said yesterday this is an event that doesn't have a cut, so only up from there for Alex Smalley.
If he finishes Sunday, he gets a check.
So only you can only imagine it's got to be better than what it was today going forward. But no, I don't want to overreact. Obviously, the Knicks played better last night. That's why they are up 1-0 in the series. I thought the Spurs played really poorly. I thought they looked exhausted out there, and I think they'll play a lot better the next however many games we get in this series. I still think they're going to win it. I think they'll bounce back in game two and, steal a game on, at least one game on the road.
Fun game.
And I think, we could be in for a longer series than I thought we would be, but I do still think the Spurs are going to win this thing.
I think so. I'm for the Knicks, but I think San Antonio wins.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Obviously, up 1-0 certainly helps the Knicks. And like you mentioned, it was a big comeback, a big fourth quarter for the Knicks. And Jalen Brunson really, really good in that fourth quarter. 13 of his points coming in the final quarter. And for the Spurs, I mean, they really couldn't shoot the ball at all last night. And then certainly in the fourth quarter, they could not buy a basket. I thought Victor Wembanyama all night was pressing way too much. It felt like he felt like everything was on his shoulders and he had to do everything for his team, and I thought that really hurt him last night.
I have said it, but I'm stealing this line exactly from Big Perk earlier today. Kendrick Perkins says, you want Victor Wembanyama thinking post player first, guard second.
Yeah, no,
and I thought it was a little too guardsy. Last
yeah,
night.
I just thought everything he did was too much. You know, from the opening tip,
just
he was
pressing's a good word.
Yeah, he was. You could tell, and you could see it.
I don't think it was nerves. Did you think it was nerves, or just trying to do too much?
I I mean, I think when you're trying to do too much, a lot of that comes from nerves. I think I think a lot of it was he feels like he's the best player. I mean, he is the best player on his team, and I think he knows how big the moment is. I think he wants it so bad that he just whether you want to call it nerves, whatever you want to call it, he's just trying to do everything for his team. And while that's great, I mean, we always talk about, you know, you want guys to give their hardest out there, whatever. You know, at times that can really hurt you. And I thought last night it just killed him and it killed his team and was a big reason why they lost that game last night.
Well said. I agree.
Yeah. So we'll talk a lot more about game one last night, what happened between the Knicks and the Spurs. But let me set up today's show before we get to top and not top story of the day. At 3:30, I mentioned it. We'll talk about the NBA Finals game one. We'll take a deep dive into everything that took place last night. Jalen Brunson, really, really good for the Knicks, leading to a 1-0 lead in the finals. 3:45, we'll talk some baseballs. We've got a lot of day action across Major League Baseball, being a Thursday, a little bit of a shorter slate of games tonight, but we'll talk about what happened last night, what has happened today, and some of these games later tonight as well. 4 o'clock, Keith Smith from SpotTrack and the Front Office Show. He'll join us to talk the NBA. We'll talk a lot about the NBA Finals, what took place last night, what he expects the rest of the season. We'll go back to the Western Conference Finals, talk about the Thunder being eliminated, and we'll talk some NBA offseason as we're getting closer and closer to the NBA draft. Speaking of the draft, Nathan Grubel joined us last week. He's going to join us again at 4:30 this afternoon. You can follow him on Twitter at Draft Deeper. He's part of the No Ceilings crew. He covers the NBA draft. Last week, talked a lot about the Grizzlies and what they'll do at those three spots that they have in the draft. But today we'll go more just kind of around the draft, some of the top players, his thoughts on the draft class as a whole. 4:45, big number of the day. 5 o'clock, really interesting tweet that, Brett, you saw earlier this morning about all of the big events in the sports world. It was Sam Block who posted it on Twitter, and it was 12 sporting events. His question was, keep 3, cut 9 of these sports events. March Madness, NBA playoffs, WNBA playoffs, Stanley Cup playoffs, college football playoffs, NFL playoffs, Major League Baseball postseason, College World Series, Wimbledon, the World Cup, the Olympics, and the Masters. Keep 3, cut 9. So at 5 o'clock, we'll dive into those events, talk about which 3 we're keeping and which of the 9 we're cutting. Okay, I like that. I think I have mine in order. I think they could change very easily. But it's hard. Very hard for me to eliminate
nine. And this tweet, I did send it to you today, and I've been holding it.
Mm.
Sam sent it out, I want to say Masters Week. You have to look at that date of it.
Yeah. It was early March, March 4th. So a little before
pre-NC tournament.
Yeah, that was around the time when we were all getting excited of, hey, March Madness. Uh-huh. Then you roll into the Masters, and then kind of everything else. So that was
I thought
all that.
Good nugget for the proverbial June show.
Yeah,
well,
definitely
good nugget. It's June.
Here we are. I like that. So definitely, we will talk about that at 5 o'clock. Kind of go through what we're keeping, what we're cutting, and how close we were to keeping some of the ones that we ended up cutting. We'll do that at 5 o'clock, 5:30. We'll talk about what's trending, and at 5:45, we'll get to Mo's Crunch Time. I do want to bring up some things, whether it is in that 5 o'clock segment during the Keep 3, Cut 9, or during What's Trending, because Brett, if I can have a second as I'm screaming across the room.
And you may, yes, of course. Oh,
we have
yeah.
the Lindy Sports Magazine in front of us in
and
hand.
I totally failed you. I promised you on Tuesday it would be in your clutches Wednesday. I couldn't find it. Did deliver on sporting news.
That's right.
You deliver on Lindy's.
Right.
Way to go.
I got the Lindy's, and there's actually some really intriguing stuff in here.
Are you going to pay me back and dog ear the cover?
No. I was able to
throw it around, sit on it in your car.
No. Yeah, I'm just going to rip through it. There are going to be pages missing, though. I was actually went by the Barnes & Noble in Germantown, the fairly new location, and they had 3 copies left. And so I don't know how many they had in stock because it just came out. It either hit the shelves today or yesterday or the day before. I mean, it's been very recent. And so I had my pick on three, and I got the two prettiest in there.
Wonder who we left for the lone survivor to get the last one.
Let us know if you go by the Barnes & Noble in Germantown. You get a Lindy sports copy. You're welcome, because I left that one for you. But there are some really interesting things, Tiger-related, SEC-related in there
My last page looked good.
Oh, it looks great. I did. I flipped to that. I wasn't like you. It wasn't the first thing I flipped to. But I also use these magazines as content, as you know,
yes,
Brett.
Yes.
And so I was looking at other things. But yes, I did flip back and some really good things. I don't want to spoil anything before you have it in your hands. But some good things back there.
Thank you.
No, it is good stuff. And yes, you will have that copy when I see you next. But I do want to get to that a little bit later in the show. But let me remind you, we're in our Family Leisure Studios, where family and fun come together. Summer, it's right around the corner. It's time to get those backyards ready for the ultimate pool party. Above ground pools starting at $39.99 installed, with in ground pools starting at just $49.99. All in stock patio furniture, it's priced to move, with 5-piece patio furniture sets starting at $999. Outdoor sectionals starting at $12.99 with free umbrella and base with select patio furniture sets. Hot tubs starting at $34.99 with swim spas at $16,999, and special financing, it's available. So head out there today, and if you head out there, mention this ad and get $200 off any pool or spa purchase, only at Family Leisure, 2120 Witten Road, just north of I-40.
He's Brian. I'm Brett. We are Sports Time. Our producer, Landon Schmidt. We're live and local and with you until 6 o'clock. We want you to be with us by texting or calling the Sissy's Log Cabin text and talk line at 901-360-8255. All our guests will join us on the Sissy's Log Cabin guest line at 901-360-8255. Always from our Family Leisure Studios. And it is swimming pool season, as Brian just described. And we appreciate them so very much in this hour every day, always brought to you by Lexus of Memphis at 2600 Ridgeway, and online at lexusofmemphis.com. Great offers on all 2026 models and always special leasing options. You can drive in luxury and confidence knowing that every new Lexus comes with complimentary first and second maintenance services. Call them at 901-334-9673, but they invite you to stop by the only Lexus dealership in Memphis at 2600 Ridgeway, and that's where you can put yourself in the driver's seat of the all-new 2026 flagship LS500, and you'll be looking and you'll be driving in style. When you purchase a Lexus, you get top-of-the-line engineering and design, and they make for the safe luxury driving experience. Online at lexusofmemphis.com. Experience amazing. Experience amazing at Lexus of Memphis.
Top story of the day.
Well, my top story of the day, it is last night's game one between the Knicks and the Spurs. 105-95, the final in San Antonio, and we talked about it, and we talked about it with all of these series. All that road team wants to do is just take one of the first two games, and the Knicks able to take the very first game. But it wasn't easy for either of these teams, certainly not the Spurs. Brett, you mentioned less than 100 points last night. They shot the ball extremely poorly, 36% from the field, 26% from three. You look in that fourth quarter, just really bad stuff from the Spurs, 28.6% from the field last night in that fourth quarter. And on the other side, the Knicks, while it wasn't a unbelievable shooting night for them either, 41% from the field, only 31% from three, they were able to make more noise when it mattered the most. Jalen Brunson, 30 points for him. He was 12 for 31, but in that fourth quarter, he really stepped up. 13 points was super efficient. 4 turnovers for him, only 8 turnovers for the Knicks as a whole. You had Karl-Anthony Towns with 18 points, 12 rebounds, and he did a really nice job defensively as well. OG Anunoby with 17 points. Landry Shamet, we mentioned him last night, or yesterday afternoon. He comes off the bench, 13 points, 5 for 9 from the field. And then they had other guys stepping up that weren't necessarily making shots but doing other things. Josh Hart, just an incredible performance from him last night. Only 3 points, 1 for 5. You realized early that the shot isn't falling, so I'll just be a monster everywhere else on the court. 15 rebounds for him, 6 assists, 4 steals, a blocked shot, just doing anything and everything out there on the court to help his team, and it mattered because they needed all of those hustle statistics from him. On the other side, for San Antonio, 26 for Victor Wembanyama, but he was 6 for 21 from the field, 2 for 9 from 3. He made a lot of his money at the free throw line, 12 for 13 there. Julian Champagne, a nice game. Stephon Castle, a decent game. Outside of that, not much. Dylan Harper looked good off the bench, but now a lot of people questioning, why did they go so far away from him in the fourth quarter? I understand De'Aaron Fox being that veteran, being that older guy, wanting to have him on the floor. But after you've seen him go 3 for 13 and Dylan Harper looking nice off the bench, I mean, at some point it feels like you got to make that change and go, let's go with the young guy that's got the hot hand. They didn't do that, and we'll see how they bounce back for game two.
First time for the Knickerbockers to be under 100 points since a loss in Madison Square Garden March 1st to the Spurs.
Holy cow. Wow.
Scored 89 that night.
How about that? Interesting.
The Knicks are just brimming with confidence.
Yeah,
that's my top story.
Are.
The Knicks now, they haven't lost in 42 days. We'll get into tomorrow. That'll be day 43. They could lose tomorrow. But now that they haven't lost in 42 days, and they're only three wins away from the biggest party in New York City, maybe ever, 105-95. But the comeback and the win a little bit mirrored game one in Cleveland. Not as big a deficit, but still had to come back, and that gave them all the confidence they needed the rest of that series. And that kind of crushed Cleveland. 30 from Brunson. And they kept it manageable. Is it manageable when Wimby only gets 26? But there's a lot of attempts to get the 26.
It was a lot of attempts. He was very inefficient.
They kept it efficient against him. Better word than manageable. They can now win it all at the Garden just by winning the home games there. It doesn't matter what they do tomorrow night. You win those three in New York City, in Lower Manhattan, then the party's on.
Party would never stop if they're able to win it, especially if they can win it.
Well, and it'll be funny next year after they win it. Mm-hmm. When will be the first time the home crowd boos them next year?
Well, very early, I would anticipate, if things get a little rocky.
Not top story of the day.
Well, my not top story of the day. Well, it is. I'm going to pull it out again. The magazines are here. It's magazine season. And so far, I've flipped through three of them. Athlon Sports, The Sporting News, now Lindy Sports. I actually learned this today, Brett. ESPN Magazine releasing a college football preview tomorrow, I believe. So we'll have to be on the lookout for that. And then obviously, we know we'll get Phil Steele here in about a month, but the consensus for the Tigers is about somewhere between about 2-4 in the conference. Lindy Sports actually the lowest on the Tigers. They have them finishing fifth. The other two having them finish second in the conference, which would mean a conference championship game appearance. But the one thing that you can take away from all of them, whether they have them as number two, whether they have them as number five, whatever bowl they have them going in, the one takeaway is a lot of people are really impressed with the talent that Charles Huff has brought to this team, what he has put at every single position on the field. The big question, it seems like, is that continuity. Can you get all of these new guys to buy in, to fit as a team, to go out there and make the type of run that some people believe the Tigers could make this season? It feels like there's going to be a lot of confidence with this team and with the fan base going into the season. But one of the things I wanted to point out from this magazine is they ranked the top 15, I think it was, as I try to find it, the top 15 non-conference games of the season across college football. Two Tiger games are in there, and we know which ones they are. Number 11, Memphis at UNLV, and then number 15, Memphis at Boise State. We know how important those two games will be. If Memphis wins both of them, they split them, you're feeling really good going into conference play. If you can handle business in conference, you'll be in a good position to make that conference championship and maybe make that college football playoffs.
Brian, that's such good news about the general air of good feeling about the Tigers going into this year for a lot of reasons. What Coach Huff has accomplished in two previous head coaching stops. The seriousness that the college football world, how they treat him. And a lot of work by a lot of people to get to this point. But I think I said it today the day after he was hired and we were talking about it. I think he enters day one, game one, year one, the strongest the program has ever been in.
definitely does.
I mean, there have been a lot of Tiger coaches going into game one and going, whew. We got a lot to do.
I think the biggest thing, and I think it's what you're saying as well, is that I'm not going to go into the season with the expectations of college football playoff or anything like that. It's a brand new coach. It's a brand new roster. But the fact that there's so much excitement about it, that these magazines are writing about how talented this team is, most coaches coming in year one, they don't have those type of expectations or those type of goals. Coach Huff coming in with that, I think a lot of confidence, a lot of excitement going into the season.
We didn't plan this, but my not top story is a college football story as well. DraftKings, they've released their Heisman Trophy odds. Tied for first, C.J. Carr plus 750, Arch Manning plus 750. In third, two quarterbacks, Julian Sayin, the Ohio State quarterback, and Dante Moore. And then standalone at fifth, not far behind them, they are at plus 1,000. Then at plus 1,100, Trinidad Chambliss. For C.J. Carr, no Notre Dame quarterback to win the Heisman in 62 years. The last, John Hurtt. Later, the original Memphis Grizzly, the quarterback of the Southman Grizzlies, John Hurtt.
Holy cow.
He won it in 64.
Wow.
No Notre Dame no Notre Dame winner at all since 87.
Wow.
In Tim Brown.
Yeah.
But no quarterback since 1964 at Ole Miss. No Heisman Trophy winner ever. At Ohio State, Julian Sayin would be the first quarterback to win since Troy Smith won in 06. They had Les Horvath as a wing T quarterback in the 40s, really kind of a hybrid running back, wildcat, et cetera, when he won it. And Dante Moore, Oregon's won it with Marcus Mariota. And at Texas, Vince Young still hadn't won a Heisman Trophy. No Texas quarterback's ever won a Heisman Trophy.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
I still haven't got my apology.
No, we're still waiting on that apology.
Direct shot.
Yeah.
Called me an idiot, too.
Yeah, sure did. And still waiting on it. But
two Texas winners, both running backs. Yeah. Okay, I'm on Ricky Williams.
I don't think you're going to get that apology.
I don't either.
I think the time has passed.
Hurt my feelings.
I understand. But let's get to a break. That'll do it for top and not top story of the day. When we return, we got to talk more about game one last night of the NBA Finals. We'll do that next on Sports Time.
Not only can you listen to your favorite shows on Sports 56, you can also watch video of the shows live on Twitter and YouTube. Watch and listen every day at Sports 56 WHBQ. Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Lexus of Memphis. Here are your hosts, Brett Stats Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Tonight, the Knicks, they get the edge in the game one, a 105-95 win over the Spurs in San Antonio, a back-and-forth game, a really weird game watching it play out with the Knicks getting, kind of back-and-forth early, then the Spurs getting the advantage. It looked like at times that San Antonio was going to run away with the game. They get about a 14-15 point lead there in the third quarter, and then slowly but surely the Knicks start chipping away at that lead, and then really in the fourth quarter they absolutely dominated and get the 10-point win. Now, they already had a lot of confidence coming in on this winning streak. That win streak extends now at least to game two. They've got to have all the confidence in the world right now against the Spurs team.
And you could feel the electricity. It felt big last night. I loved in the pregame when they were rolling through the big moments. And we'll really get a lot more of that when we get to the Garden next week. But I was wrong yesterday. I said series doesn't start till they get to the Garden. No, it started last night when you went on the road. Mm-hmm. And you said, no, it'll start when somebody wins on the road. And you nailed it. But you could feel the bigness. Brian, you know where I like to go a lot of nights in TV view. I went to my buddy Rocky Cassavetes last night over at Alex's Tavern, and there were a couple of tables of Nick fans in full gear there.
Oh, wow. That's great.
I loved it.
Yeah,
I mean, they were really excited.
That's awesome.
And some Spurs fans, but a great Wednesday night TV watching.
Yeah,
party.
No, really fun. And yeah, I mean, the Knicks are one of those brands that, really across the country you can run into them. And so cool to see that a couple of them got together to watch it last night. And,
in Memphis.
Yeah, and that's really cool. And obviously, you know, it was a party up in New York during the game, before the game, certainly after the game. Definitely the Knicks got to be feeling good. A great game from Brunson. He had that moment early in the game where I think it was Harrison Barnes that got pushed and he fell into Brunson and he had to limp off the court, went back to the locker room to get checked out, able to come back in the second quarter. And I think a lot of people really worried of, okay, how much is this going to hurt him? How much is this going to hamper him the rest of the game? And it really didn't, especially that fourth quarter. Again, you know, 13 points there, the way that he stepped up and had that 30-point game last night. He was as big as they needed him to be. And again, you know, we talk about how everyone wants to go ahead and label him as the best Nick ever. Performances like this are what's going to get him to that level.
Sure will. Mm-hmm. Open up the history books. It's getting ready to be there for him. And I'm not gonna resist it. I'm not gonna reject it out of hand like I kind of have to this point. I know some will still say, well, Walt Frazier had two. Mm-hmm. And I made the point a week or so ago about it. You know, he's not in any of the top 10 categories, but they would not be doing it without him. No. And that's what makes him so special.
No, he's the leader. He's the engine. You know, where he goes, they go. And he was awesome last night. Karl Anthony Towns was really good as well last night. 18 points for him. What he did defensively all night was really, really impressive, especially against Victor Wembanyama. I thought he did a really nice job against him. And you know, Karl Anthony Towns, we've talked about, he's been really good this playoffs, and I thought a really nice start for him in the finals.
It was almost the Karl Anthony Towns game, mm-hmm. but Brunson's 30. And not a lot from three from Brunson. Had the late mm-hmm. corner three. After kind of some wild drives that Wimby was altering everything. They were thinking about him. It was always on their mind. Big high floaters, ball bounces around. They kick it in the corner. He drains it and kind of the final margin. What was from there? It was closer than the 10-point margin.
No, definitely. I mean, again, you know, in the third quarter, the Spurs are up. What, 13, 14 points? I mean, a lot of people going ahead and riding it off as the Spurs are going to run away with game one. And it looked like that at times in that second half. But, you know, the fourth quarter, what the Knicks did, just really impressive. Again, you know, you look at that fourth quarter, and the Knicks shoot 40.9% from the field while holding the Spurs to 28.6% from the field. I mean, the Spurs just could not make anything late, really couldn't make a lot during the game. Just the shooting from the Spurs was pretty bad all night long, but certainly in crunch time when they needed a bucket, they weren't able to get it. And I think a lot of that, you know, going back to the Spurs having to go seven games against OKC, you know, how much energy that took out of them. And on the other side, the Knicks just resting, getting some R&R going into the finals. We saw it in the last series where they were certainly the well-rested team late in that first game against Cleveland, and they looked like the well-rested team last night against the Spurs. Now, I don't think the Spurs are going to lay down like Cleveland laid down. I think we're still going to get a great series, but you know, just really impressive. The Knicks doing all that work early to now be able to put themselves in a position where they're maybe fresher and able to capitalize in the fourth quarter against the Spurs.
One of the Knicks fans I was visiting with last night where I was watching, I mean, just called it, said, we'll start kind of slow. We'll be mm-hmm. somewhat of a deficit. Late fourth quarter will be all Knicks.
Yeah. And that's exactly
what it was.
I need
to find that guy's crystal ball.
Yeah, no kidding. That's exactly what it was. And so definitely impressive to watch. And we'll see if that carries over to game two. You know, I think the Spurs bounce back tomorrow night and are able to even this up and get the win. But, you know, if they shoot the way they did last night, if Wimby is still pressing like he was last night, you know, it could get dicey. And maybe you could see the Knicks pull off another win. But I would bet on the Spurs bouncing back and getting a win tomorrow night.
I would too. But how would you handle approach that? You don't want to write off anything because you know the advantage that with the unlikely upset, what 2-0 would give you. Mm-hmm. Then it makes the two games just next week, never mind coming back for game five or game six, it would have the place just on fever pitch edge of all time. How do you handle it if you're the Knicks coaching staff and even like the leadership? I don't think you would want too much of a house money mindset. Mm-mm. No, you know, let's not write off anything. Let's compete.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's, you know, going to be their mindset. I think they have the guys in that locker room. I think, you know, going through what they did last year with this group and bringing them back this year, I think they're going to have the mindset of, you know, we cannot let off that gas at any point. We have got to continue to have, you know, foot on the floorboard, on the gas pedal, and keep trying to go. Because, yeah, I mean, you're right. If you can go back to New York up 2-0, as hard as it's going to be, I mean, that completely changes the way everybody's looking at this series. So, yeah, you've got to, you know, keep that mindset. It's very easy to get very high after game one. And, hey, maybe the fan in the front row jawing at Jalen Brunson, maybe that helped him, because you could see as he was walking off the floor, even when he got back to the back, he was not happy. He was not celebrating. He was mad. Whatever was said to him did not make him happy. And so maybe he'll take that.
Had that look of, I'm going to show y'all.
Exactly. And so, you know, maybe he comes out and instead of maybe riding high after that game last night, maybe he comes out wanting to prove even more his point to the Spurs fans.
Bryant, this is the first time the Knicks have led in an NBA final series since they were up 3-2 in 94 over the Houston Rockets. And that was a Friday afternoon, June 17th, 1994. Earlier that day, Arnold Palmer played his last competitive round at the U.S. Open and said goodbye at Oakmont.
Yeah.
And on TV,
O.J. Simpson.
O.J. Yeah. Simpson, slow speed chase. And,
oh, boy.
And guess where I was?
Right here.
Right there.
Always.
Right there.
That's a wild day.
It was
of
a
events.
Wild day. George was on vacation. Paul and I, Paul Hartley, the late, great Paul Hartley, and I had it.
Mm-hmm.
And everything going on that day, and you know, Paul and I had, you know, talked that morning or something. Didn't text. We didn't have it.
Sure.
We talked about, you know, where we're going to go, and, you know, big golfer and U.S. Open. We didn't talk a whole lot about Arnold Palmer that day.
No, certainly not. A lot of other things going on last night, in that day in the sports world.
The TV on different studio than this, but on 560. That's where I was. But different studios, and the TV was kind of in the other room, and had split screen of slow speed chase and like lower Manhattan getting ready for the game that night.
A little split screen action. So yeah, hopefully this series doesn't bring anything like that, and we have to do split screen of anything similar.
That day, every network, all the networks went to it, and ESPN had the split screen, kind of stayed with somewhat. No, ESPN had golf and that on, because that the Friday afternoon was on golf.
Interesting, yeah. Hopefully we don't have an incident like that.
No.
Hopefully it can just be all basketball.
It was a wild day.
That is.
Wild times.
That is very wild. I know we'll talk more about this, obviously, tomorrow leading into Game 2, but for the Spurs, what do they have to do tomorrow night in Game 2 to look a lot better and bounce back and get a win?
Start Wembanyama as a post player, and then anything after that is just kind of dessert.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, we've seen it throughout
these
playoffs.
Play post first.
Sure, we've seen it throughout these playoffs. Victor Wembanyama, you know, when he has those bad games, you know, he really comes out in that next game and is fired up and usually plays a whole lot better the next game. So you know, hopefully we see that, and hopefully we see some other guys, you know, step up and are able to knock down shots. You know, I'll be curious to see what they do with Dylan Harper. 28 minutes last night, but was really, really good. 16 points, 8 rebounds, and an assist off the bench. So we'll see how they change things.
De'Aaron Fox was not bathed in glory last night.
No. It wasn't a very good game for him last night. You know, we mentioned it, 3-for-13 from the field, 0-for-4 from three, you know, a handful of turnovers as well. So, yeah, you know, I don't think we're to the point where you need to bench him and start Dylan Harper quite yet, but you got to have a better game from De'Aaron Fox. You know, he's getting a lot of money. He's supposed to be that veteran presence out there, and especially late, he did not step up and have that kind of calming veteran presence out there on the court. So we'll talk more about this game and this series at 4 o'clock when Keith Smith joins us. Right now we need to get to another break, and when we return, we'll talk some Major League Baseball.
Sports 56 and 98.5 FM, available locally on your radio dial as well as around the world online at sports56whbq.com. Take us with you everywhere by downloading the Sports 56 app, and at home, just say, Alexa, play Sports 56. Wherever you are, it's easy to stay tuned to Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Lexus of Memphis. Here are your hosts, Brett Stats Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Baseball already underway today. A couple of day games. Not as many as we usually see on Thursdays, but three games already final, one in progress right now, and a couple interesting scores today. The Phillies get a 6-4 win at home over the Padres. The Orioles all over the Red Sox. 8-2, six of those eight runs for Baltimore in the top of the first inning. The Yankees with a 2-1 win over the Guardians. And the game going on right now, the Giants up 12-5 over the Brewers. Three of their runs in the first inning to put them on top, and they really haven't turned back. Bats have been hot today for San Francisco.
Guess who's going to be in New York next week to be playing the Mets on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday? Why, everything will be going on with the NBA Finals.
The Cardinals, right?
The St. Louis That's Cardinals. Right. Didn't name the player, but I saw a St. Louis dedicated sports figure, a tweet that said a unnamed player reached out to his agent about the possibility of tickets for Wednesday night for the NBA Finals. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're not broke, baseball players. Mm-mm. And when he got the price tag, said, we'll find a bar to watch.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Find a bar, the bar at the hotel that you're staying at, the clubhouse, you know, the visiting clubhouse, you know, roll a TV in there, whatever you got to do. I don't think you're going to Madison Square Garden.
But I read that, and I just tell that story. I see 6:10 Central Time start Tuesday night, 6:10 Wednesday. Who could go to the game on Wednesday night?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe one of the starting pitchers on his off night saying, "I'll just go to the NBA game instead of being in the dugout." I don't know who that would be.
12:10 on Thursday. Yeah, I don't know how that would work.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know at all. Maybe they're planning for some rain in the forecast. I don't know.
I don't know either.
Maybe we'll get delayed or something.
I don't know. I'd like my pitcher that even if he wasn't doing anything, being anywhere but on that team.
Definitely not. Definitely
with that
not.
Team.
So yeah, that is strange. But yeah, no matter how you shake it,
pricing structure. Wow,
yeah,
it is something. It's not even real.
No, it's ridiculous. I mean, just seeing the I love the as low as, because sometimes you'll see some as low as on ESPN. They always put that there on the side. Sometimes
see, like,
you'll
see $17.
Yeah, well, like I mean, I've seen some games. I don't want to name the team, even though it's the Grizzlies. Like last year, when things were going bad, it was like $4. Like, get it for $4. For game that would be game four, $7,221 for just to get in.
I saw a view from in the 400 section of about that price range, and I don't really care where I sit. I would be fine in that,
sure.
But I wouldn't be fine paying that price for that.
No, definitely not. So yeah, so
I couldn't do it.
I wouldn't. Absolutely not.
I wouldn't if I could.
Yeah,
but I can't do it. But I don't mind in the upper reaches. I don't.
I love sitting at FedEx Forum. I love sitting in the nosebleeds. I think it's the best seat in the Forum. It's unbelievable. I love that seat. But
do you really?
Oh, I love it.
It's a long way from the action.
If I'm picking a ticket, I mean, part of it, I'd say about 25% of it is the price. But
for sure,
75%. Like, I like sitting up there and getting kind of the bird's eye view of the court and seeing everything play out.
It's steep up there. There too.
No, I've
sit up there and like, you know, at halftime or you know, go to the restroom or concession.
You gotta be careful.
Better hang on to the rail.
Yeah, you definitely do. You definitely do. But yeah, no, I don't mind at all. People will, like, you know, when my buddies are going, they'll be like, "Hey man, like, we're gonna go, but I don't know where we're gonna sit. We might sit in the nose." I'm like, "Dude, please, like, let's." I would prefer to sit up there. Less people up there. Usually, you know, you can just kind of hang out. You don't have to be getting up and down to let people through. I love sitting up there. So yeah, I'd be completely fine.
But not for $7,000.
No, I'm not doing anything for $7,000.
No.
There's not many things on the plan that I'll do for $7,000.
A down payment on a house.
I don't even know if I do that. Like, that's way too much money. But it's funny because you've got tomorrow night's game, $741 to get in. Then it jumps all the way up for game three, 7,200, 7,221. Going back to San Antonio, it is more expensive because it's game five, 1,687. Then it jumps all the way back up to 7,981 for game six, and then 2,851 for if there is a game seven in San Antonio.
Stock market closed today up almost 900 points at around 51,500. I guess the hedge funders can afford it.
Yeah, I guess those people, up there in New York City, I guess they're doing well. They can afford that, but tell them to send some of it down here. I mean, whatever well they're drinking out of to get all that money.
I can't really listen to them be able to do this. Now, I know not a very small group can do that. But then complain about how expensive the toll roads are, the subways are.
Yeah, maybe save some of that money that you're spending on those tickets, and then you won't have to complain so much about all the other stuff. But it is expensive. But hey, people will be there, and they'll be rocking at MSG, no question about it.
I want to find out who the Cardinal player was. I don't like the idea of that.
Yeah, that's interesting, especially if. That is weird.
I'm trying to find the tweet now, and it might have said buying it for a family.
Maybe. That would make more sense.
Okay.
But yeah, that's weird because, I just thought when you brought it up at first that, maybe a Wednesday, maybe they've got a noon game, you get the game done with, and then we go down to MSG for the night game. But if it's a night game against the Mets, then, that would make it very difficult to go to a NBA playoff game.
The Cardinals need – 2 out of 3 in New York, 2 out of 3 in Minnesota next week after this coming up this weekend in St. Louis against Cincinnati because another 2-run win last night. They're narrow.
No, they're real narrow. It was never nice easy to see a win last night and getting the 11 hits, 5 runs, certainly better than what they had done the night before and really in a lot of games recently. So, hopefully those bats can start waking up. But right now, really, really sleepy offense for the Cardinals, but was nice to see a win nonetheless. But let's go ahead, wrap up this first hour, get to a break. When we return, we're talking more NBA. Keith Smith from SpotTrack and the Front Office Show, he joins us next. We'll be right back.